Hey there, everybody. Welcome on into a Sunday morning tailgate installment of the Locked On Patriots podcast. Mark Schofield sliding into the big chair on this Sunday morning, November 18th, 2018. It is Thanksgiving week. Yes, that's right. I did some of the grocery shopping last night, as I told you guys I would. What we're going to do today, what we always do on these Sunday morning tailgate shows, we're going to do some last-minute news and notes around the league. Obviously, no Pats game to talk about, but we'll have injury updates on some other players. We'll revisit last week's DFS recommendations as well, so make some picks for this week. Really don't want to revisit last week's selections because, well, I whiffed on a lot of stuff. And a little bit later, we're going to recap some college football action. But let's start with some injury news and notes. We'll start with the Baltimore Ravens. Joe Flacco officially listed as doubtful for Week 11 against the Steelers. He failed to participate in a single practice throughout the week, which is usually not a good sign. Lamar Jackson was sick. He did miss practice on Thursday, but he was a full participant on Friday, removed from the team's injury report. Coach Harbaugh did not necessarily rule out Flacco playing without practice, but I wouldn't bet on it. And Jackson's fully expected to start. Lane Johnson, tackle for the Eagles, questionable for that Week 11 Sunday night matchup against the New Orleans Saints. He was close to playing last week against the Cowboys, but was ruled out late. I think he goes. They're going to need him. They're going to need to put up the points to stay, basically keep pace with the New Orleans Saints. You don't really see that defense without Ronald Darby and Jalen Mills being able to keep the New Orleans Saints off the board. Mohamed Sanu, not listed on the Falcons' final injury report for Week 11 against the Cowboys. He was scrapped from the injury report after returning full participation in Friday's practice. Sanu won't have much fantasy appeal, I don't think, against Dallas, but that could change. But he is going to be back in the lineup, it looks like. Jordy Nelson, questionable for Week 11 against Arizona. He did not practice at all this week. We heard those rumors that maybe he was going to retire, but officially, he is questionable. We're going to talk about some Packers right now. Jimmy Graham expected to be out 4 to 6 weeks. That's according to David Chow of the San Diego Union-Tribune. A Friday MRI confirmed a broken thumb. He might need surgery, which puts the rest of his season status in question. Mike Silver of the NFL Network, he's reporting that there's a growing sense Mike McCarthy will be replaced after the season. A lot of frustration with Mike McCarthy right now. A lot of people pointed at him the decision to sort of punt with 4 minutes remaining. I ripped that on Friday. I'm not the only one, apparently. Tajae Sharp, questionable for Week 11 for the Titans against the Colts. He was a full participant all week, but suddenly got in limited work on Friday. He's questionable, as is Taywan Taylor with a foot injury. Mike Williams of the Chargers, he's good to go against the Broncos. He was downgraded to limited participation for Thursday, but it wasn't enough to keep him out. Wasn't listed on the final injury report, so that's a good sign for him. Same thing for Keenan Allen, who's been dealing with hip and finger injuries. He was not listed on the Chargers' final injury report for Week 11 against Denver. He should be good to go. Antonio Gates, however, questionable for Week 11. He's yet to practice week, which is probably not a good sign for him going. Joey Bosa also listed as questionable against Denver. Wednesday was the first time Bosa was allowed to participate since the summer. So I don't know if it's a good sign in the sense that for this week, even if, you know, they get a couple of reps out of him, that might be something that they can build upon going ahead. But they obviously want Bosa back for sort of the playoff drive here. Brandon Marshall for the Saints. New Orleans Times-Picayune does not expect him to play Sunday night against the Eagles. Nathan Peterman, I can't believe we're talking about him. He actually got a tryout for the Detroit Lions, so that's something to watch. Maybe they add him, maybe for some depth. Jack Conklin, he's cleared the concussion protocol, so he looks to be good to go for the Titans against Indianapolis. Sammy Watkins, questionable for that big Monday night game against the Rams. This is one I've been struggling with myself. Kiki Kuti, he traveled with the team to Washington. Looks like he's a game-time decision, but I'm fading him this week. I just dropped him, actually dropped him off one of my rosters because I had a really bad situation. My Week 11 buys in one of my big money leagues, Matt Breida, Marquise Goodwin, David Njoku, Jarvis Landry, and Tom Brady, all on buys this week. So I'm really sort of stapling that team together this week. But I dropped Kiki Kuti, added Nelson Aguilar, and of course, what's going to happen? Aguilar will be held without a catch. Kiki Kuti goes off. But that's the way these things work. Sammy Watkins did not practice on Saturday. I don't think this is a good sign for him for Monday night's game. And finally, we're going to talk about Zach Cunningham, Texans inside linebacker, ruled out for their Week 11 matchup, Houston's Week 11 matchup against the Washington Redskins. So that's a quick spin around the league. Up next, we're going to talk about DFS. My picks from last week revisited. My picks for this week, hopefully better. That's ahead on this Sunday morning tailgate installment of Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you now on this Sunday morning tailgate installment of Locked On Patriots. And before we get into this week's picks from a DFS recommendation standpoint, a look at last week's picks, and they were not good. I would say I missed on, out of the 8 picks I made, I missed on 7. I was 1 for 8. Let's go through quickly. Mahomes, I had him as your blue chip pick at the quarterback spot. He was QB 13 last week. Alex Smith, I had him as your value pick. He was QB 21. Running back spot, I said, no, we're not doing this again. Nick Chubb, I'm moving away from the Browns. Nick Chubb was RB 1 last week. Kareem Hunt, my blue chip pick, RB 22. Tariq Cohen, my value pick, RB 18. Michael Thomas, he was the only pick I hit on. He was your blue chip pick at the wide receiver spot. He was wide receiver 4 last week. Josh Gordon, however, wide receiver 24. Tight ends, Travis Kelce, your blue chip pick, tight end 14. Ben Watson, your value pick, tight end 35. So basically, you could probably take my recommendations, write them down on a piece of paper, light that piece of paper on fire. That's probably what they're worth. But here we go. We're going to do it again. We're going to start with Drew Brees. I think he's an easy pick on Sunday night. If you can get him into a DFS play, look, that Philly defense is banged up. We've seen teams throw on them to begin with at almost at will. Now with Mills out, Darby out, I think it's a no-brainer. 8,500 over on FanDuel. I think it's worth any penny. If you want to go value pick, we've been streaming against Tampa Bay all season long. I see almost no reason to stop now, even though it would be Eli Manning, 6,700 over at FanDuel. I think this is one of those weird weeks when Manning puts up some big numbers. That game's going to be up in New York, so I don't know. If you're feeling a little risky, that's the kind of bold, decisive type of pick that will win you money on DFS games. So Eli Manning there is your value pick. At the running back spot, Ezekiel Elliott, Dallas at Atlanta. At Atlanta defense is banged up as usual, and I don't think they're going to have a shot at stopping the run. They've been struggling against the run all season long. I don't see that stopping. I think, obviously, Dallas is going to feed Ezekiel Elliott the football. Deion Jones, he was so close to coming back, but he is going to be out for this game against the Cowboys. So that's, again, one more reason why Ezekiel Elliott, your blue chip pick at the running back spot. If you want to go cheap, though, Alex Collins versus Cincinnati. Bengals struggle stopping the run right now. If you want to look at run game stats, what they've been giving up to running backs, Cincinnati right now against running backs, they are giving up an average of, as I pull it up here, 29.5 points per game to running backs. That's third most in the league behind just Atlanta and Kansas City. With Flacco out, Lamar Jackson in, I think you're going to see a lot of zone read type stuff. I think Collins is going to see a ton of carries. He's just 6,000 right now over on FanDuel. I think you can hop on that train. At wide receiver, Michael Thomas. Again, for the reasons we talked about with Drew Brees, that Philly defense is banged up. Get yourself Michael Thomas working against some backup corners with the injuries that they have. Eagles are going to probably play a lot of zone coverage, basic coverage stuff. I think that Michael Thomas, Drew Brees both have a huge, huge, huge game. If you want to go cheap, though, Demaryius Thomas for Houston against Washington, just 5,600. Kiki Kuti looking to be like a game-time decision. I think this might be a nice spot to get Demaryius Thomas really fully worked in to that Houston Texans lineup. Finally, the tight end position. Another weird week with the tight end position because you've got, Travis Kelce playing Monday night, so he's not offered in a lot of DFS slates overall. If you were playing a Monday night only type slate, I think you would go with him at the tight end spot. But since he's really not available to the bulk of slates here, we're going to pass on him. Gronk obviously hurt on a bye anyway, so that doesn't matter. So we're going to go with Zach Ertz. If the Eagles are going to win this game, they're going to have to put up points in bunches. They're going to have to slant it. And I'd imagine Ertz will be a big part of that game plan. Going cheap, though, Evan Engram. Streaming quarterbacks against Tampa Bay this year has been a pretty good idea. You could do stream your tight ends against Tampa Bay this year as well and have some success. They've been giving up 14 points per game to tight ends this year. Evan Engram, 5,600 over on FanDuel, might be a nice little value play at the tight end position. So that's a quick look at some DFS recommendations for this week. Up next, quick spin around the college football landscape, see what happened on the day that was over in the college game, had some big games, had some quarterbacks with some resume-type games or resume-type opportunities, see how those guys panned out. That's ahead on this Sunday morning tailgate installment of the Locked On Patriots podcast. Mark Schofield back with you now on this Sunday morning tailgate installment of the Locked On Patriots podcast. Quick spin around the college football landscape. We can start with number one, Alabama. They take care of business against the Citadel, 50-17. Tua Tagovailoa, 18 of 22 for 340 and three touchdowns. He continues to roll. Syracuse bested by Notre Dame, 36-3. Notre Dame keeps rolling as well. Ian Book returns to the starting lineup. He goes 23 of 37 for 292 and two touchdowns. A big game for him. Shea Patterson continues to improve each week here, looking better and better in that Michigan offense. 16 of 28 for 250 and a touchdown to Eubanks. A great throw there from Shea Patterson. You should check that one out. Georgia rolls over UMass, 66-27. Will Grier continues to struggle a little bit. He had a big game a couple of weeks ago, but West Virginia is upset by Oklahoma State, 45-41. Grier goes 27 of 48 for 364 and two touchdowns, no interceptions, but they failed to get it done in the end. So that was an interesting one to watch. Another interesting one to watch was that Maryland-Ohio State game. Maryland should have won that game. Ohio State survived. Their defense has problems. Ohio State 52, Maryland 51. Dwayne Haskins, though, starting to look like, again, in this jumbled quarterback class, he's a guy that might catch some buzz if he decides to leave. Been hearing rumblings that he might after all. He goes 28 of 38 for 405, three touchdowns. Trace McSorley, the recipient of a Senior Bowl invite, he goes 17 of 30 against Rutgers. 183 yards, two touchdowns. Penn State wins 20-7 over 1-10 Rutgers. Rutgers 0-8 in the Big Ten, but Senior Bowl bound Trace McSorley going 17 of 30 for 183 and two touchdowns. So there you go. Another player that might be getting himself a Senior Bowl invite, it's a possibility, Jake Browning. He goes 17 of 23 for 242 and three touchdowns as Washington takes care of business over Oregon State. Northwestern takes care of business over Minnesota, 24-14. Clayton Thorson, 15 of 21 for 230. Also had a rushing touchdown. And you know, as somebody that studied Northwestern in preparation to write a piece about them this week for Minnesota Rivals, that was a little bit of a stunner because it didn't seem like Thorson was running too much this year. He's kind of picking his spots, but gets himself on the board with a touchdown run. Our boy Brett Rippon, 17 of 27 for 222 yards, three touchdowns. Boise State takes care of business over New Mexico. And in that game, Brett Rippon sort of set some records, trying to pull that up here, for Boise State. Got it now. He, on the first play of the game, he actually became Mountain West all-time leader for career passing yards. He entered the game needing 36 to top former North Dakota State quarterback Ryan Lindley's mark of 12,690 career passing yards. He broke the record on a 41-yard pass to Sean Modster, getting him to 12,696, but he finished over 13,000 for the season so far. He also broke a record in the Mountain West, establishing a conference mark for career completions with his fifth completion of the 96-yard swing pass to Alexander Madison, giving him 692 for his career. And he was four completions behind Lindy's mark of 962 for his career. He started Friday four completions behind Lindy's mark of 961. He also started the game 10 touchdown passes short of former BYU quarterback Max Hall's record of 94. So he's getting closer to that one as well. So again, record watch now. Record watch time for Brett Rippon. A guy I continue to say should be in the conversation for, you know, not maybe a first-round pick, but he should be at the top of a lot of, or near the top of a lot of quarterback boards. Speaking of players that might be near the top of quarterback boards, Drew Locke, if you were finally waiting for a sort of breakout type of game from the Missouri quarterback, you might have gotten it today from Drew Locke. Drew Locke has been, you know, sort of at the top of some draft boards. People were talking about him as a big-time potential player. Well, what does he do out today? Well, 50-17, Missouri rolls over Tennessee, and Locke goes 21 of 30 for 257 and two touchdowns. Big road victory for Missouri, getting them to 7-4 in the SEC. Maybe sort of a statement type of game for Drew Locke. Jarrett Stidham went 12 of 18 for 178 and two touchdowns in a victory over Auburn, so that happened. And then two night games that we're going to want to talk about here before we go: Cincinnati, UCF, Clemson, and Duke. And frankly, neither one was really much of a game here. You had the one I was more interested in was watching that Clemson-Duke game, because Daniel Jones has gotten a lot of sort of buzz, and this was one of those sort of resume type games for him where if he comes out, puts out a big performance, you'd think, okay, well, maybe we actually have QB1 if Justin Herbert doesn't come out well. Daniel Jones, 24-43 for 158, averaging just 3.7 yards per attempt. No touchdowns, no interceptions. Now, Clemson has a defensive line where you might see three or four of those guys come off in the first round. Maybe all four of those defensive guys up front in the top 50, you know, day one, early day two type pick. So tough environment for him, tough matchup for him. That offensive line did him no favors, but certainly if you were hoping for Daniel Jones to put on a statement type of game, this wasn't the game that you would want to see from him. And the other game of the night, UCF, Cincinnati, this was a game that was 7-6 at the end of the first quarter, but then UCF pulled away. They pulled this out 38-13. Mackenzie Milton, 13-25, 268, three touchdowns. Curious to see what he decides. I'm guessing he goes back, but who knows? In this quarterback class, who knows what people are going to do? But that will do it for today's Sunday morning tailgate edition of Locked On Patriots, keeping it nice and tidy for you. I will be back sometime later tonight or Monday morning, sort of recapping the day that was in the NFL. And then we will get back into it. I've had a Tape Tuesday request from, of all people, my mom to take another look at Josh Gordon, so I will do that. And then Wednesday we'll be doing crossover stuff. We'll be getting back into our regular slate. Again, get some questions in for the Thanksgiving Take Thursday installment of Locked On Patriots. That's right. I'm going to be doing episodes for Thanksgiving Day. I'm going to have a Friday game day edition. If you're going to be out and about shopping perhaps on Black Friday, I'm going to give you something to listen to, but I will be here all week long. Until next time, keep it locked right here. To me, Mark Schofield. Locked On Patriots.